John chapter number 3. And no, I'm not preaching the same message I preached Sunday. John chapter number 3. And we want to start reading verse number 14. Y'all probably need it again, but it's not the same one. John chapter number 3 and verse number 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have, now read this with me, have what?
Eternal life.
Very good. Let's do it again. Ready? Eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have, read it with me, have what? Everlasting life. Okay? Let's go on in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the day. Thank you for loving us the next few minutes. I pray you'll take your word, your workman, and do your will. Help us, Father, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. As we come here on this Wednesday night, and of course, most Wednesday night, I just preach like a Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, just preaching time to me. Amen. Now, tonight, we may be just a little bit different. I want us to look at something that I would call this sermon, the title of it, I would call Salvation by Grace and Grace Alone. What we really want to look at is there's two words that are said here, eternal and everlasting life. Does God give us eternal or everlasting life? Is that what we get? And so with that in mind, the Bible tells us in many different places, I believe, verses that teaches us that you and I have everlasting eternal life. But there's a multitude of people in religious realms that does not believe in what we call eternal security, okay? They don't believe in that. We're not against them, but we're Bible believers, so we want to look into the Bible and see what does the Bible teach? What does the Bible say about this thing of everlasting life? Or eternal life, what do we have? John 10:28, and just listen to these verses very quickly. I'm going to go through them fast so you won't need to turn to them. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but pass from death into life. Jude 1:24, now to him that is able to keep you from falling, to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And so, tonight, there's many people, and we're not about this other religion. Do you realize there's one religion called Free Will Baptist? They believe you can lose your salvation. There's other religions that believe you can lose your salvation. There's people that are trying to work to get to heaven. I've told this story here multiple times. I pastored a church in Tennessee. I was there 7.5 years, and one of the members got sick and was at the point of death. She did not die, but she thought she was at that point, and I was just talking to her and discussing some things with her. And I said, and I called her by her name. I said, that God gives us eternal life and you're saved, and you know for sure you're saved. And she said, I hope so. Well, I began to intrigued into that. And so, of course, she had a different religious background. She was raised up in a different background, not been raised up a Baptist. And so I finally, as I got to talk to her, she kind of acted like she was doing some things. And she would say, well, I've done this and I've done that. And I'm not talking about saying a prayer. She was talking about, she's trying to live right and all that. And I tried to explain to her, those things does not save us.
Amen.
We're saved by grace and grace alone. Amen. We're saved by looking to Jesus, and it's the finished work of Calvary. And so there are many that believe that they can lose their salvation. So I want you to help me tonight for just a moment. I want you to suppose that God does not give us eternal life. I want you to suppose that God does not give us everlasting life. Okay? I want y'all to think like that for just a second. And with that in mind, if we don't have everlasting life, then there's some truths in the Word of God that are not true. So I'm going to try to show you some of those things tonight. Somebody will get this message and say the preacher don't believe in eternal salvation. But so let's suppose we believe and that we can lose our salvation. Then this would mean this. Then salvation would be by works.
That's right.
And not by grace. Correct? It would be by work. If a saved person can be lost again, then it is because something has failed. Mm-hmm. Somehow they failed. Okay? Now we look at, how did they fail? Well, did God fail them?
No, impossible.
Yeah, impossible. That's right. God can't fail us. God can't do anything wrong. I mean, God's perfect. I'm sorry. Okay, did the church fail him? Possibility. The church could fail him. Yeah. But what happens is most people that believe they can lose salvation, they don't blame it on God. They don't blame it on the church. But they blame it on who?
Themselves.
They've done something in their life. And so if I'm thinking that I can lose my salvation from something I've done, then I've made salvation a work salvation. I've made it an act of work and not an act of grace. Are y'all getting what I'm saying? Because if I'm saying I'm saved, that means I'm in. Amen. If I'm saying I'm saved, that means I've been born again. If I'm saying I'm saved, that means I'm part of the family of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It means I've been regenerated. It means I've been made anew. And guess what? If I say that I lose that, X them out of the family. Amen. No more new life. Go back to old life, buddy. No more new birth. A lot of things have to take place backwards, don't they? Amen. If that takes place. So for us supposing tonight that we believe that we can lose our salvation, then it means that I've done it. I did something to cause me to lose my salvation. So people really that believe that they can lose their salvation really does not believe in the salvation that saves.
Amen.
They really don't believe in the salvation that completely saves. So they have no hope of heaven really, because if I'm thinking in the back of my mind that I have to do something to be saved, and me and Brother Bo over here, me and Brother Bo, you know, we're working, we're doing all, he's a plumber, and we're over here, we're plumbing, you know, and doing different things, and I'm helping him out, and I do something, he don't like it. And he said, man, that's the worst plumbing job I've seen over here. I'm going to have to redo this mess and all this stuff. You know, it's like when Brother Jeff's working with you. I'm just kidding. And so that makes me mad. And I get mad, and then, you know, I spout something off I shouldn't say, or I just get mad at you. That's a sin. I don't, you know, most of the time you talk to people that says that they feel like that they're trying to work their way to heaven. You know what? They really won't tell you what sins it is that they commit that causes them to lose their salvation. I've never had nobody really pick. Now, the big ones, you know, they put them out there, adultery, killing somebody, something like that. They might put those out there. But, you know, the Bible teaches us that sinning is wrong. Sin is sin in the eyes of God. I know there's different consequences for sin. I understand that. But so I go home at night and lay down, and I guess because I've got mad or said some things I shouldn't have said or done some things I shouldn't have done or throwed something at him, you know, something. We ain't working for him no more if he's going to talk to me like that. And so I guess I've lost my salvation. Well, I can pray another prayer and, you know, everything, and I get saved again or something. Yeah, I don't know if it could just be. I'm just wondering. I don't know all those things, but I will say this. Then I've made it something that I've done for salvation,
yep,
instead of something that somebody else has done. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. It is a gift. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So they really don't have peace that they're saved all the time. Because I'm going to tell you, and y'all can look at me strange, you want to, there ain't a one in this building that hadn't sin, don't sin.
Right.
And so, if we was going on how we work today for the Lord, if we was going on how our life was from Sunday to now, probably some of y'all have lost it, amen? You know, I don't know. But I'm just saying, I'm not making light of this, because really it puts those people in a state. How can you have peace that passes all understanding? You know, and I believe a lot of people that believe they can lose their salvation are going to get to heaven and realize they never could lose it. They're going to go to heaven. Amen. They believe and trust in God. Amen. But they really don't have a salvation that saves. They have to save themselves. John 5:24 says this. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Now, those that believe what I'm talking about, they'll say, well, said that, really, you won't know you're saved until you get to heaven. Because it says you passed unto death, unto life. That is not what that's talking about.
That's right. That's right.
So if you go to the book of Ephesians, it says that we've already been predetermined, predestined. We're already predetermined what God wants us to be. Amen. We're not Calvinists now. But God's already, when He saves a person, He already makes him perfect in His eyes. Through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're cleansed. And we're going to talk about that in just a minute. So we do away with salvation by grace when we talk about if we think that we can lose our salvation, we do away with this thing. So the very sound, I mean, this verse sounds very positive, don't it? It sounds like that there's, it said we believe on Him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation. Well, if you go out there and shoot somebody, matter, if you go out there and commit adultery, if you go lying and stealing. No, He said, you shall not come into condemnation, because when a person gets saved, the book of John, 1 John teaches us that the Spirit of God, John teaches us the Spirit of God comes to take up His abode in us. But 1 John talks about that sinless one that lives within us. Mm-hmm. And Ephesians said we're sealed until the day of redemption.
Right.
So, and all through the Bible it says I'm put in Christ. Mm-hmm. And when we think about being put in Christ, we just might think like we're shaking hands or something. But that ain't what it is. That means truly we've been put in Christ. We've been put in there.
That's right.
It's like that water's been put in there. It's been put in it. And we've been put in Christ. We're part of that body. We're part of the body of the church. We're part of the body of Christ. And so we're part of the building. The Bible talks about being a building and fitly joined. And so we're part of Him. So we do away with that. Look. Matter of fact, here's a great illustration. I used it Sunday morning. Didn't think about using it tonight, but Luke 18:10. Remember we talked about those two men that went to the temple to pray, and one was a Pharisee and the other was a publican? What did the Pharisee say? The Pharisee said this. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men. Extortioner, I'm not unjust, I'm not adulterer, not even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Sounds like to me, he's got a works salvation.
Yeah.
He's dependent on what he's doing to become righteous in the eyes of God. I've got to hurry, but I'll get to that in a second, maybe too. But the other one, and the publican standing afar off would not lift up his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Sound like to me he ain't got things in order. Come on, help me out now. Sound like to me he ain't been doing right things. Yeah. And here's what he says. He said, I tell you that this man went down to the house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalted himself shall be abased, and he that humbled himself shall be exalted. Amen. Sounds like me, the one that was doing bad got salvation. The one that was doing good was lost.
Amen. That's right.
And so we do away with grace if we believe this doctrine of losing our salvation. Secondly, we feel like that we don't have eternal or everlasting life. You know what it does? It does away with the doctrine of the blood and the substitution of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary.
Amen.
Because Peter said this, 1 Peter 1, 18-19. For as much as you know, you're not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by your traditions from your father, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Acts put it this way, take heed therefore yourself and to all the flock of which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he has purchased with his own blood. So it shows me that the Bible teaches that we've been purchased by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches us that Jesus Christ took our place on Calvary. He bore our sins. God made him to be sin who knew no sin, that might have the righteousness of God in him. So he became sin for you and I. The Bible teaches us about Christians that sin. Amen. The Bible tells us in 1 John 2:1-2, my little children, these things write unto you, that if ye sin not. Now that's what God wants us to do, right?
Amen.
We forgot that as good Baptists, but that's what he wants to do, sin not. Mm-hmm. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is a propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for the sins of the what? The whole world.
Amen.
Jesus Christ died for the whole world. And so when Jesus Christ was on Calvary's cross, that means that his blood, his substitutional death for you and I, what? Took care of man's sins for the whole world, for our whole life. Amen. Why would Jesus have to bear our sins on the cross if we're going to have to pay for our sins as a Christian? Okay? If my sins come up against me to condemn me and cause me to lose my salvation, then the blood of Jesus Christ has been taken from me. It was applied, but it was unapplied. That means on the cross, Jesus paid for my past sins. He paid for my present sins. And he paid for what? My future sins. Because on the cross, all my sins was future.
Amen.
Amen. And we know the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary went back all the way back to Adam, rolled back 4,000 years and began to wash everybody's sins away. Somebody ought to be getting happy, amen. Washed everybody's sins away. And I mean, all the way up to the cross. And then from that day to finally in 1972, a little 7-year-old boy in Rutter Chapel Baptist Church realized he was a sinner and walked down the aisle and bowed and told God he's a sinner and asked God to save him. Guess what? That blood washed Tim McCulley's sins away.
Amen.
It washed David Hawkins' sins away. Amen.
Amen.
It washed Brother Nix's sins away. I don't know about Trevor. But then it washed all our sins away. Amen.
Amen.
And guess what? Today it's still washing sins away. I think about in February. We went down to the rest home and old Bill was down there. I mean, he was right in the, I could still see it, Brother Bo. He's right in the middle of the door beside me. I've stepped in there. They're leaving out. They've been in there exercising. I said, anybody like to stay? We're going to have some singing. We're going to have some preaching. And he's in the door, almost out. And he said, yeah, I'd like to stay. And I just pulled him out of the door because you can get run over in the rest home, buddy. Amen. In wheelchairs, they wild. And so I put, and hey, he got saved that day.
Amen.
Amen. That blood is still flowing. That blood is still flowing.
Amen.
Oh, thank God for it. Amen.
Amen.
When we think about that blood that flows, that cleanses, that blood cleanses us from what? All sin.
Amen.
Now, let me just say this very quickly, in case I don't. Just because we've saved, we have eternal life, does not mean we live a sinful life. Bible says, God forbid. We don't sin just because we're saved.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
We don't do that. That should be a matter of fact, a true child of God, when they sin, it grieves them. Mm-hmm. Now, I know we can become cold, become carnal, indifferent, different things like that. But even when I was away from God as a young boy, after I graduated high school, I got away from the Lord just for a period of time. And even that time, the Spirit of God always dealt with me. He always dealt with me. Thank God for the evidence of salvation. Amen. But then we see, let me give you another. If we believe that we could lose our salvation, or if we could not have eternal life, if a saved person could lose salvation, then that saved person is not, the Bible is not justified like the Bible says that they're justified. Now we have to look at this word justification. You don't have to take your Bibles there, but Romans chapter 3, verses number 24 through 28 reads like this. Now, if you'd like to look, that's fine. If you've got a Bible, you can do what you want to. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteous for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasted then? It is included. By what law of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Now that's pretty clear. So you could keep the Ten Commandments, you could keep the laws of God, you could live a righteous life if you could. You won't be able to do it, but if you could, but it still would not earn you salvation. It would not merit you salvation because he said, therefore we conclude Now, in Romans chapter 3, you know what he's done. Romans chapter 2, 1, chapter 2, he showed us that the whole world, Jew and Gentiles, are what? Guilty before God. He comes to chapter 3, he said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. I know you think he hadn't sinned, but I haven't met nobody that's sinless. Amen. Somebody said that, one preacher was saying, he said he had a man walk up and say, he said, I haven't sinned in 10 years. He said, yeah. He said, you have sinned. He said, why? He said, you sinned because you're lying. Right. Amen. Lying's still a sin, isn't it? Yeah. Amen. But we realize, what is justification? We are justified freely by his grace. Just look what he said there. He said in verse number 24 of Romans, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in whom? Christ Jesus. That's how we're justified. Now, what does justify really mean? It means more than just having your sins forgiven. It means that, but it means more. What it means is simply, it means that not only has your sins been forgiven, but you have been restored back into the eyes of God. You've been restored like that we would be like in the garden of Adam before sin.
Amen. Amen.
It means this in a very easy way. Justification means just as if you never sinned.
Amen.
That's right.
That's how much he does for us. Just as we never sinned. And so when we believe that we can lose our salvation, we believe that there's something we have. And even there's a lot of people not serving God tonight because they've sinned, done some kind of sin, maybe been bad, maybe been terrible. But they think God can't forgive them for it. Or they think, man, they can't serve God no more. Well, this Bible says that he's faithful just to forgive us what? If we confess our sins, he's faithful just to forgive us what? All unrighteous.
Amen. Amen.
That word all, you studied in the Greek, you know what it says? All. It means all. Okay? When I say all, y'all, a southern way, all y'all, okay, I'm talking about every one of you. I'm not leaving anybody out. I'm going to say, it ain't like I say, okay, all y'all, but I didn't mean him. No. It means each one of them. So it means all my sins. All my sins.
Amen.
If I'll confess my sins, he's faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. It does away with the finished work of Calvary. It does away with justification. When can a person that is saved be lost again? The answer is in the Word of God. And it depends on this, and I'm closing. It depends on this. It depends on who saved you.
Yeah. Amen.
That's right.
Yep. Amen.
Now, so their salvation in some religions, it's in this building, it's in the church, it's in the creed, it's in what they do here. You know, if we was Jehovah's Witnesses tonight, then we'd have to do a little work, a little term, and different things. We'd have to go through classes and different things, and we'd achieve the salvation. And they're faithful to do those things. Amen. So, some people have salvation in the church. If we was in Catholicism tonight, in Catholicism, not then the same thing. There'd be some rituals. There'd be some things that we'd have to go through. And it earns us a right for salvation. So is your salvation in the church? Or is your salvation in you? Is your salvation in what you've done? Is it in your own righteousness? You know, you find this after you knock on people's door, you talk to people, or even people I know. You know, you become friends with people and you begin to deal with them about their soul. And they'll say, well, preacher, you know, I'm a pretty good person.
Yeah.
And this one I hear a lot. You know, I'm just as good as probably so many people that go to your church. And I think about it, probably a lot better. Man. Yeah. I wouldn't look at nobody when I said that. Not look at nobody. Nobody knows. But I'm serious. And they think because they're a good person, I haven't killed nobody and I don't try to treat anybody wrong and I pay my taxes and different. They feel like that they're good enough. You know, there's a lot of people who've been worse than that claim to be saved. Okay? And so they think they're saved. So their salvation is in their belief of how they're going to get to heaven. I was talking to a man that was, maybe actually was a heat and air man years ago. And he was coming to work on our, we had at that time had a trailer and had a shotgun furnace in it. And so he was going to work on that. And so anytime you work on a shotgun furnace, you probably be ready or right with God anyway before you work on it. But anyway, I was just talking to him. And I was talking to him. And I asked him about it. I said, sir, I said, if you die today, would you go to heaven? And we was talking and got in that realm. And I felt led to ask him, sir, if you die today. He said, me and the man up, old man upstairs has got it all worked out. Well, I had problems with that right at the beginning. As soon as he got past old man, I was really in trouble. I knew he was really in trouble. First of all, he's not the old man upstairs. And I say that because he said it. I won't say that. I don't want to be disrespectful like that. But, so I knew then. And I said, well, you know, that's fine as long as it lines up with what the Word of God says. And we began to talk, and I brought up some verses, and he said, well, he said, I'm telling you, he said, I'm a pretty good fellow, and I treat people right, and I'm honest in my job, and then he led me some things out there. And, of course, he packed up his tools after he got done working on it, and we said bye and paid him, and you know, he went down the road. But you know how he was going to be saved? By what he felt like salvation was. Looked at in the book of Judges, man, did that which was right in their own eyes. Yeah. The Laodicean church is the same way. What they thought was right. People's rights. So, how you say? Sister, come on to the pen. How do you say? You know, are you saved by the church, by some creed, by some religious writ? Are you saved by what you think salvation is? Or are you saved by what that Bible says? For by grace are you saved through faith, that not yourself. Whosoever calls the name of the Lord shall be saved. If I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in the heart that God has raised him to death, thou shalt be saved. Some people say because they've been baptized in a baptism pool. Yep. They think that saved them. Some people say because they signed the card. Y'all have heard me tell this story. I was roofing, I had my own company, and when I went to Bible college, and I was roofing this guy's house, it sits on right on 75. You can see it off of 75. And I was sitting up there on the roof, and I'd witnessed to him. Just after the first day we got there, I got the chance to witness to him. And that was like on the weekend, and we didn't finish the work and had to come back Monday. And I come back Monday, and sure enough, here, normally owners don't come on the roof. It's a good thing most of the time. Yeah. But here comes the owner. I mean, right up to the, I don't know if he came right up there. I was working right on top, putting ridge cap on, finishing things up. He said, you'll be proud of me. I got saved Sunday. Well, praise God. Amen. I said, tell me about it. He said, well, I went down there and he called the church. It was a Baptist church. And he went down there and he said, I walked up front, told the preacher, wouldn't be saved. He said, okay, here's your card. And he said, I signed a card and joined the church. I said, was you repentant towards your sins? He said, no. I said, did you pray a prayer? You talk to God about it? No. Well, that preacher told me to sign that card. So I sat down over and signed that card, and he said, we was united with the church. He said, so I got saved. Now, I have to be tactful. First of all, I want paid. Secondly is, I want to be honest. And I tried my best to explain to him, I don't know how you went towards God or went towards the altar. I know you could got saved with a pure heart coming towards God. Amen. But I said, you know, the Bible talks about us confessing our sins. The Bible talks about repentance. Repenting, crying out to God. And telling God that we're sinning. Amen. And I tried to tell him what I felt like was a biblical salvation. So this is what I will say. If you get saved biblically, then you know who saved you? Christ saved you. Now I just want to tell you, he done pretty good when he made these bodies, didn't he? Done pretty good when he made this world. She's still spinning. Sun's still shining. Amen. They still all doing all the things they're supposed to do. Only thing about our bodies, we mess them up. Somebody say amen. They're cursed by sin. We know that. But he done a pretty good job. I just say this, I believe he does a great job in salvation. Right. He gives us what he says he gives his people, his children, salvation. No man shall pluck them out of my hand. If I truly get, when I truly get saved, if I truly become a son of God, as many received them, them gave him power to become what? The sons of God.
Amen.
And then I lost that. And I went to hell. It sounds like me, one of the, God's children, would be in hell. I don't think God's children should be in hell.
Absolutely.
When God saves you, you're saved for eternity. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We're standing, our heads are bowed. I'm glad he saves us. I'm glad as he calls us, he claims us, he cleanses us. One day he's coming for us. What a blessing. Our heads are bowed. You could be here tonight and not be saved. If you're not saved, there's an altar down here. Alter your life. There's a God that's saying, come, come. If you are saved, then we should have a desire tonight to want to see others saved. May the Lord help us to have that desire. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the night. Thank you for the Word of God. God, thank you for salvation. It's full, it's free, and it's forever. Thank you for it. In Jesus' loving name we pray. Amen.